Hi, how's it going? This is the Canadian Asian Missional Podcast, and this is our very first episode. Today, we're going to talk about why it's important and timely for us to engage in this conversation and how we got to a place of starting this podcast. Here we go. Jump right into it. How do we get this going? And who's going to be involved? Let me introduce our host today. We have Xu Ling Li. Xu Ling, would you want to give our listeners a little bit about who you are?
Yeah, just call me Xu, first of all. I can't even, like, my own name, Xu Ling. Okay, but yeah, I'm a pastor in Richmond Hill. Yeah, I have a passion for the church, passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I want to see what that means in our context today and how we can reach others and disciple more people.
Awesome. Now, personally for you, why is this a conversation that is important?
I think it's important because hearing a lot of people from other, in particular, I guess, Chinese or Asian churches, there's a lot of, I guess, loneliness in ministry and frustrations. And just to, you know, have a place to dialogue about some issues that we may never have talked about.
Awesome. So also, we got our host, Bernard Tam. Bernard, say hi.
Hi, I'm Bernard. How's it going?
How's it going? Yes, we're getting started. So you want to give our listeners a little bit about who you are?
Yeah, well, I'm Bernard from Toronto. I'm a church planter in the city. I love to see innovative and creative ways to engage the gospel into the community and neighborhoods. I love coffee. Anybody that knows me, I'm also a coffee evangelist, as I am a Jesus evangelist. So, yeah, that's pretty much about me.
Fantastic. My name is John. I am also a pastor here in Toronto. I work with families and youth in Scarborough, and I'm a big sci-fi fan as well. And so we're coming together as three brothers, as three pastors, to continue to work through these things and to hopefully help you guys as you guys are going through some of the same things in your churches and in your life. Fantastic. So as mentioned before, this is the Canadian Asian Missional Podcast, or CAMP for short. We'll talk about camp. It's not camping. There's no literal tents or fishing or fire pits. But you know what? Hopefully.
But we're gonna talk about tent making and stuff like that too, right?
There you go. I think that's
starting fires too.
yeah. You know what? Let's do it. Let's go for it.
Blaze of glory.
I was thinking about Pentecost, but
okay. Yeah.
So how have we got here? You know, over the years, you know, what has led up to this podcast and us starting to have this conversation in this format and discussing some of these issues?
I think it probably started when we were in seminary, when we were sitting around the seminary lounge, where we were trying to put to practice what we've been learning about theology and what that looks like in our contexts. And I know Xu and myself, we've been part of a Chinese church for quite a while. So we get to see part of the Asian lens. But I think these conversations birth because we want to see the movement of the gospel, like tangibly in our communities, in our neighborhoods. We want to understand what shapes the church so that the church would really live out God's mission wherever they're called. So these conversations has always been a part of what we've been talking about for many years.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely been quite the dialogue and conversation over the years. Xu, how about for you? What's your take on how we got here, and you know, how are you personally connected to this?
I think some of this has sprouted out of, we also are part of, I guess, a missional conversation group with some other pastors. And some of it is that there's a uniqueness to I guess, Asian church ministry, immigrant-based ministry, that it's been difficult to navigate. And I guess we're all coming from a second-gen perspective, and we're also wanting to honor that first-gen or 1.5 generation, and we're trying to figure out what that means in a church, in a Canadian church context that embraces where you come from, but then also embraces where we're living in contextually today. And I think part of our reasoning for starting this is to get into some of the deeper cultural issues that are lingering. And sometimes it's easily brushed aside, saying, yeah, culture, it's all the same. Or if you look at things, quote unquote, biblically, then that kind of supersedes culture. But I think we have this conversation because we think culture matters a lot. And even why we called this camp is because we totally believe there's a Canadian Asian context we need to dive in further with.
I think just to add a little bit to it, I think the Asian Canadian churches have been growing quite a bit. But there's very little voices, whether it's podcasts or academia, that engages with the growth and the development of the Asian Christian churches. So we just want to also create space where people can share what's been happening, spaces where we can dialogue and engage. And
yeah, for sure. You Google this, you Google Canadian Asian or Canadian Chinese or even this missional kind of side of stuff, there's nothing. There's no hits.
It's definitely a conversation that really isn't at the forefront of a lot of, a lot of discussions. And yeah, it'd be great to have this place to be, and this podcast to be a place where we can kind of dialogue and process some of that stuff together. For myself, I am someone looking from the outside, looking in, having been in ministry and as part of different churches that were not part of the Canadian Asian context, and having some experience with it, but also coming from a different perspective, I think has always been a opportunity to learn from the discussions and to realize that this is a very unique context for the church and for us as Christ followers. I think that is one of the hopes that we have for this podcast. So jumping right into it, because you guys have mentioned it in both your journeys of coming to get here, the Canadian-Asian context. Canadian-Asian context. You know, what would you guys say are the defining traits of it? You guys mentioned something about being second generation. There's definitely part of that. What distinguishes itself from other contexts, such as multicultural, Canadian-only context, Asian-only context?
Yeah, I think the Asian context, and even why we chose Asian, we didn't want to stick with just Chinese, even though we are coming from that context. We want to interview people who are from not just Chinese context either. But in particular, there is this just broad cultural stream, if we're going to call Asian, and we want to see how that kind of works out in our area, in Toronto, the greater Toronto area, and kind of maybe engage people where they're at. In terms of, ministry, in terms of being the church where they're at and engaging the particular cultural context that they're in. So why Asian or even Canadian Asian, I think there's a particularity for that for us, that we're both Canadian, and yet I'm not just Canadian or Canadian from Europe that immigrated here a long time ago, and sometimes that's just referred to as general Canadian. But I'm Canadian and also Asian, also Chinese. So there's some things that come with that. And if we don't kind of engage some of that, we kind of maybe try to blank slate everyone and not acknowledge some of the uniqueness. But we also want to be, wary and not just say, oh, we're all different and we have no similarities either. So I think we want to engage some of those issues.
Sure. And, before we just get to Bernard's take on this, how would you guys see the uniqueness of the GTA versus the rest of Canada?
I think every area has its own unique flavor. And especially in the GTA, we are coming from a multicultural place. I just posted an article recently on Facebook that was saying that GTA now is over 50% self-identified minorities. Even that, being minorities you know, is this kind of a weird term, but yeah, it's like definitely non-white essentially. And you have a lot of churches that are like that as well. And you have a lot of churches that are trying to be more multicultural as well. But we still have a lot of uniquely Asian churches, whether that's Korean, Filipino, South Asian, Chinese. You have a lot of immigrant-based churches still in the GTA. So, I think, and then all over Canada is quite different. Like in the prairies, I'm sure is different. In Vancouver and the West Coast, I've talked to some pastors there, and things are so, their issues sometimes are different. They're more relaxed, or people are not as engaged. But here it's like, go, 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 right? At times I joke around, it's like new Hong Kong here, you know, but.
Yeah, Bernard, how would you describe the Canadian-Asian context?
I think the Canadian-Asian context is pretty much what Shu kind of sums up. I think what's interesting is to look at the different generations that have come. Especially in Canada, there has been, for some of the Asian culture, there has been multiple generations that has come. So we are seeing third generation Chinese, Koreans, and how church shaped their identities and form who they are. And these are interesting topics that not often get to be engaged with. Right. And a first generation perspective is very different than a third generation perspective. But if we begin to kind of unravel a little bit, like kind of break it down a little bit more of the Christian identity that's rooted in it, like all of that becomes a very important dialogue. So I find that like for Canadian Asian, like this multi-level of understanding. But I think back to the question that you were bringing up about Toronto and GTA, I think Toronto is a little different only because Toronto is one of those places where you don't actually need to assimilate.
Sure.
It's probably one of the few cities where you can remain in your culture and be untouched by the larger Canadian culture and you'll still be okay.
Right.
We're the only city that has the largest Chinese mall, I think, in North America. Mm-hmm. And so we create spaces for this sort of like multiculturalism, but that also kind of blends into all the questions of like, well, if first generation comes and they want to just remain in a certain way, but then the second generation, they're beginning to assimilate more and more into the, you know, the common culture per se. What does that look like when we think about church?
And that brings up a lot of the issues that are at play because there are maybe disagreements and kind of different trains of thought, how things should be or how we should do things or be the church,
right?
Even.
Yeah, let alone traditions or identity and perspectives of who we are as a church and how the church is to operate, for sure. All right, let's move on. Why are we focusing on being a missional conversation rather than just addressing the overall Canadian Asian context?
I think what's the driving focus of even this podcast and why we're gathering to do this is that we believe God is active in this world. So it's not that he just started the mission and then we're just supposed to like figure it out and he spun the world into motion and then we're just doing it. But God is the missionary God who has come down in Christ to redeem us, to transform us, and to show us the new life. And he's still doing that today. And God is still on mission today, and the Holy Spirit is active today, and we're trying to follow God in what he is doing. And just as Christ came into a particular context, was born as a Jewish man, where he was at in that area of Israel and Jerusalem, and he was engaging people in a certain context and talking to people in a certain way, we are doing the same thing. And as we are being led by the Holy Spirit, I think that's what we're trying to do as well.
Cool. Bernard, anything to add to that?
We're all on mission. And the mission is the proclamation and demonstration of the kingdom of God, of the lordship of Jesus, and how Jesus is changing, transforming, reconciling, restoring the world. And we need to understand what mission looks like in order for us to participate in it.
Yeah, how we're forming Christians, how we're discipling people to make disciples and that they proclaim the gospel of the kingdom to others. You know, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, just before we kind of move on, what authors, what speakers have really influenced you guys in understanding what does it mean to live on mission or to be on mission? Who has really influenced you guys?
For me personally, I came out of, I took a year at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, which was interesting to go through to learn from a Reform perspective. And I appreciate my Reform brothers and sisters. And I've learned a lot from people who are missional thinkers in there. And especially recently, there's groups like Saturate with Jeff Vanderstelt and things that they're doing at Soma Church. And they really kind of, I think, have really tried to think through a lot of things in terms on the ground level, how to just see your everyday life as mission and bringing your family into that as well, not just, you know, some youth program that you drop off your kids to and stuff, but really even discipling your kids to make disciples or, you know, to follow the Spirit's leading on that. But on the other side now, as I've kind of gone through other studies, other theological influences, people like Scott McKnight, like David Fitch has been very formative with me. David Fitch coming from this kind of quote-unquote neo-Anabaptist perspective, and I'm sure we'll touch upon, you know, that at some point, right? I know you guys are looking at me. I'm talking about Fitch all the time, but seeing mission just as extending the presence of Christ to other people, and it's in the, you know, these practices of the church that we're supposed to be doing this, and we believe that God is active even right there, that Christ's presence is there with us as we do these practices. And, you know, it's not just all about just doing Bible study, not just all about social justice causes, which are, you know, great things. We want to know the word. We want to help others and be part of the common good in this world. But what more is it? And there has to be more as Christians. And that is to, I believe, share the presence of Christ, the one another's thing to different people around us. And this isn't just the hokey, you know, I'm going to share the love of Christ to people talk only, but that, am I really going to get into the nitty-gritty in someone's life? Am I going to get to know the barista and be a part of their life, that I feel God's leading me to them? And I want them to also get to know our community, our church community, and we want to say that we love them and we want to engage our lives with theirs. And I think that's the hard part. I think being part of, back to the cultural issue, that we don't want to mix our lives with other people, you know, in the area. And as an immigrant too, some of that kind of comes across in Toronto. It's easier just to have your own culture, have your own kind of same race looking friends or whatever.
Sure.
But we don't know how to engage people of different economic classes. We don't know how to engage people who have a more, you know, messier life than we do, or even better life, let's just say a more financially viable life. And we wrestle with that all the time, but are we going to be faithful to who God has called us to spend time with?
I think for me, a little bit of my own missional journey, I started it probably about 10 years ago reading Hugh Halter's book, The Tangible Kingdom. What he was writing really resonated, because he was saying how he was at a Christian conference. He was one of the speakers, and then after the session, he kind of went out for a drink at a pub, a local bar, and there he started talking with one of the baristas, and then they spent basically the whole night just talking about faith and about Christianity. And after that long, long talk, he left the bar, presumably going back to the conference, and he had this moment where he was struggling, why am I going back to this Christian conference where everybody's Christian, where these are the folks in a bar that needed Jesus the most?
Yeah.
And I think that was my question then, beginning to wrestle with this whole idea of mission and being missional, that a lot of stats have said once you become a Christian, you kind of drop out all your non-Christian friends.
Hmm.
But if we really understand and believe that the mission of God is to see the gospel that transforms, reconciles, heals, restores, brings hope, then perhaps we need to rethink where and how we spend our time as churches.
Sure.
And as individuals too.
As pastors, right? Another person that's influential for me was Dan Kimball, kind of what you're saying, had even a chart of that in his book, I think it was Emerging Church or whatever, that the more time you're a Christian, the less non-Christian friends you have on that kind of chart.
I think it's almost double.
And even as pastors, we haven't modeled that. That we don't even have time because we're going to a lot of these meetings and we're spending more times with Christians, and we can't even show our fellow brother and sister Christians that we're shepherding, maybe. How do you model a missional life? And Kimball was like, he's decided, and you know, he's the lead pastor of that church. He's able to just go, okay, I'm going to stop spending some time in these meetings. I'm going to go down to the neighborhood and go engage people. And that has to be modeled by your lead guy.
That's radical.
And here's my advocate for something. Pastors, don't stay in your office. Go to the coffee shop. I know for all you 905ers, you guys got nothing really, but find a good local coffee shop and just kind of hang out there.
And when you do, don't just put headphones on and tune out. Actually be attentive. Maybe God is calling you to start up a conversation with someone there. Maybe he is doing something in someone's life that he is calling you to be part of. But it is so easy to get caught up in all of the meetings and the committees and almost endless discussions that happened in the church, and especially for the responsibilities of pastors, preparing sermons, leading programs, all of that is sometimes just fills up our life so much that it's like we're not even having any energy or time to live on mission and being more intentional in a lot of the different areas of our lives. Both of you mentioned also that about our non-Christian friends and how it's very easy just to get stuck into the Christian circle, that it's just very easy to, you know, neglect or to distance and have the friendships that you have with others fade away. Whereas, you know, God calls us to go. God calls us to be missionaries in every context. And so how do we do that?
Actually, one thing when you're saying that just came to my mind, and I think it's a contextual issue for us here. When I talk to you, and I work in the suburban area, I find people who've grown up here, and this is just kind of, you know, my opinion, but they get stuck in their network of friends, or they go into university and they're maxed out socially, and maybe they've been part of a small group of fellowship at church or something like that, and the only kind of mission they've ever understood has been going on overseas missions or something like that. And now as we're trying to introduce these missional concepts or this missional lifestyle or attitude to people in suburban church, or even I would say Asian church, it's hard for people to even think that, because their friends are mostly either all Christians or maybe some non-Christian friends that they may have even tried to invite to church back in the day, but they don't necessarily quote-unquote do life together. And I think if we're going to be missional, truly missional, and following where God wants us to go, it will require not being maxed out socially. It's how do you regain some social capital and actually open up some space in your life where you can engage someone new for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of them knowing Jesus. And I think, you know, we joke around about this in our missional conversation group. Sometimes we need to be undiscipled to something so we can actually start discipling or be discipled. And I think for me, what I see in this area, sometimes people who've grown up here, like myself, I could totally stick with my friends who I've grown up with all around here, and you know, all the cool new church friends that I have or whatever. But for the sake of mission, I have to open up some space and time intentionally in my schedule so that I can spend time with other people. And what's the goal? It's so that they know Christ, that they submit to him as Lord, and they know the true and real eternal life I think Christ offers. But that's radical. That's a radical thing.
I think that's, though, like, it seems radical, but it's actually, you know, like 2,000 years of history, right? Like, it's where the early church was. They were living life together in the communities. They were not, like, organized groups of, like, Bible studies and whatnot. They were living, you know, the hope of return of Jesus that's coming very soon. And they're proclaiming and demonstrating what this new kingdom looks like. And I think I agree, like perhaps what we need to model is to create margins in our church rhythms. You know, that we have spaces where it's like, it's not just like free for all, do whatever you want, kind of watch Netflix with your neighbors kind of thing, but actually spending time.
Which could be cool too.
But. Which could be cool too. I heard Stranger Things 2 is really good.
Oh, I've man, never I can't wait. It. I can't wait.
But I'm done. Wow, okay. I guess I'm really behind. I haven't even watched Stranger Things 1 yet. So, but even like this regular meal time together where you can break pizza or whatever, like a space and a time that you can just engage and allow relationship to form. Because I think sometimes, and you know, I've grew up in the church long enough to know that like there's a certain way of evangelism where, you know, we want people to kind of do these steps really quickly and make a certain commitment. But perhaps in our culture, especially in Toronto, a post-Christian culture, this takes a lot longer and people need to see, well, what is the effect of the kingdom that you often speak about? This Jesus who is your Lord and Savior, how does that shape your life? And is it really good news? And can it be good news to me? But unless people enter into life together, it's really hard to tangibly see that.
Yeah, and maybe it's that part of that Canadian culture part to it that now you're getting my mind going on this. Because we can practice what we want to practice and we're kind of tolerant of each other, we don't want to step in each other's spaces. We want to just, okay, well, great, you practice your Christianity over there and that you practice your coffee-anity over here. You know, like, it's, you know, you're just separating your things, but you don't want to engage. And even, like, there's even some fear within that as well to engage because we're like, that's part of a Canadian cultural value that you practice your stuff over there. I don't ever want to kind of cross that bridge or even have a dialogue, create that space. And the church, and I don't mean just, you know, our church buildings or church organizations, but the church, the people, the church is supposed to be that space.
Right.
It's supposed to be.
This is a wide breadth topic, and we're really excited to start this podcast to kind of start peeling back some of those layers, getting to the core of certain things, discussing and wrestling through some of those specific barriers and misconceptions and issues. It's a huge topic, and you know, all three of us are growing and all of us are continually being refined by Christ and how the Holy Spirit continues to use us and shape us and call us into being. And so we're really excited that, you know, that we have this space to do it.
I just want to add to what John was saying, like, we're, and this is like my confession too, I think it's our confession, like we're just three guys that loves Jesus and loves the church and loves our community. By far, we don't have all the answers. We're coming here with a posture of humility, wanting to learn and wanting to listen. And we hope that in our discussion, in our dialogue, like we can maybe help catalyst some thought for you who are our listeners, whether it's the few or the lots, whoever, that maybe it will, you know, spark in you some thinking or rethinking or some undiscipleshipping.
Yes.
And then rediscipleshipping.
Yes. Amen, amen.
As we continue to grow together, hopefully this will be helpful for all of you guys, the listeners. And at the same time, you know, we want to hear from you and we want to be inviting you into this conversation. And we're going to start putting some things into place hopefully soon to facilitate that. And so, yeah, we're joining you guys in this process, as church continues to exist and continue to develop and culture continues to change and shift, you know, how do we continue to be the missionaries that Jesus has sent us out on? Big topic, lots to discuss, lots that we've got planned to discuss. And so hopefully you'll join us for that. Why would you guys say this is a timely conversation to have? Why do you guys think that now is the time to have these type of conversations? And maybe to a certain extent, what do you think will happen if we don't start approaching some of these issues?
Looking at Europe and what's happening in Europe and how they've become post-Christian, is the future of North America. Many people have said that. And we are seeing that many churches have declined in growth. And this is a timely conversation because we need to respond. We need to engage. We need to recognize that this is the reality. But God has still called us. And God is still doing something that's new. God is an imaginative God. But the church is in a time that lives between this tension. And it could fall and become, you know, just, you know, perhaps the dark ages of churches where churches aren't even even useful, helpful in the community. Or perhaps, as we are wrestling together, that this becomes a time where the church kind of switch on a different switch and turn and become a catalyst for the good news to be truly transforming and shaping and almost reculturing the neighborhoods here in Canada. And I think that's why this is a timely conversation.
We are in a time, like as Bernard's saying, a post-modern, post-Christian, post-Christendom time where Christianity doesn't have power anymore in our society. People only know about Christianity through like watching, you know, television programs, which usually just demean, you know, Christians or the church and stuff like that. And you know, evangelical Christians are getting a totally bad rap now from, you know, the States and stuff like that. So it's just, we're at a time where we have to engage people and proclaim the good news, but proclaim it contextually, proclaim it in a way that's sensible, that's understandable, versus at times if we just do it in only one way and say that's the only way, versus, you know, we want to be open to dialogue, open to having these conversations, to learn from other sources, learn from other people who are thinking deeper about this, learning from other communities that are really trying to engage people where they're at. So I think just having that conversation now today we just want to be a catalyst to people to have those conversations, to know that you're not alone. You may feel there's some things at your church that's kind of frustrating, or you're like, why is this like this? Why do we do what we do? And I guarantee you there are reasons why you do what you do at your churches. And some of it is for tradition, some of it is for preference, but we always want to seek to be more faithful to God. And we want to do that together as the local body of Christ, wherever you're at. So hopefully this can just be part of stirring up that conversation and to, you know, not give up too quickly where you're at. And, you know, also to maybe encourage you to take some steps to where you can maybe have conversations, start it with people in your church, in your local groups where you can actually have a good conversation about the state of the church, the state of culture, the state of things going on, and hopefully bring in some insights through those conversations as the Holy Spirit leads you, and you can move forward together as a church and not just feel maybe stagnant or feel like, oh, this is just how people are going to be. We should be people of hope. We should be like, God is still working right now. And I'm the one who's saying this. I'm Mr. Pessimist on this podcast. But yeah, we need that hope.
Yeah, that's what we hope that you guys will all take away, having a sense of hope of what God is doing, what he wants to do in and through all of us, and how he wants to continue to shape us as the church. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to our first episode of Camp. Hopefully you guys will continue to join us as we are on this journey and continue to tease a lot of these things out. And we're looking forward to hearing from you and to continue to discuss different areas and topics of the church and as who we are as Christ followers, as God continues to renew and shape all of us. Thank you guys for listening. Bye.